Praise the Lord. Are you hungry for more? Yeah. So am I. You've got to stay hungry. You know, if you're not hungry for the Lord, it means you're full of something else. And it could be just I'm full of me, you know. But I want to be full of Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be full of me. I don't like what I see in me. I want Him to be Lord now of all of me. I just submit me now and say yes to God and no to self. Say yes, Lord, and no to self every day. And, you know, God gives us a lot of liberties and we're free as His children. But, you know, if Papa interrupts your schedule and speaks to you and tells you to go do something, I think it's wise to say yes. Yeah. Amen. I will do your will, O Lord, you know. Just like you tell your children, right? Okay, you've had plenty of time to play. Now it's time to do your homework or it's time to go do your chores. And if you're a good kid, like I was. But, you know, if you look at the perspective of doing your chores as something of, you know, oh, I've got to do this or I have to do this. You know, if your attitude about the chores is wrong, then you're not going to enjoy doing your chores. But if you're doing your chores out of love and out of respect for mom and dad, amen, because mom and dad have asked you to be a partner in the household, amen, and to work together. So it is our Father. We say yes to Daddy because He loves us and He wants us to share. And you know, my dad taught me that there are benefits to saying yes to Him. And there are repercussions for saying no. But I had not perfect parents, but I'm thankful for my parents. You know, and no matter what kind of parent you might have had, you know, the Bible says to honor your mother and your father. It doesn't matter whether they were perfect or not, because there are no perfect parents, but we are called to honor our mother and our father. Did you know that's the only instruction given to children in the Bible? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is really the primary thing, to honor your mother and your father, to obey them, right? And if you can just get a hold of that, kids, you know, any kids in here? Yeah. Yeah, you see how dad beats them, right? Yeah. Anyways, thank you for coming today and listening to the right voice this morning. You know, people say, do you mean if I didn't come, I just listening to the wrong voice? Maybe. Not necessarily, but maybe. All I know is that we need to say yes to Daddy and no to me, right? If I don't want to do what He's telling me to do, I think it's wise just to say, okay, Lord, I'm going with You. Because life is the result. Life results from us saying yes. You don't have to fill your life with the no's and the don'ts. Just focus on the yeses. Focus on what God says to do. Walk with Him. And you'll be full. Your life will be full of Jesus. Amen. It's about saying yes to the right voice. Amen. And no to the other one. It's very simple. But we're learning how to walk. We're learning how to listen. We're learning. How many have discovered it's a process to learn how to listen to God? It don't happen overnight. It was a process growing up at home to learn how to listen to Dad. It didn't happen overnight. Remember that illustration when you popped your head out, you said, mine! You know, the first thing out of your mouth is mine, or the selfish nature we're all born with. And that's the part of us that has to die. That has to be denied. It has to be starved. Ignored. I mean, put to sleep. It's dead. God gives us a new heart. A new beginning. He's a God of new beginnings. And the Bible says every morning His mercies are new. Oh, man, I bank on that one. Thank God. It's a new day. Yesterday's gone. I can't go back and redeem yesterday. But I can live for today. I can live for Him. I can live in life. Hallelujah. We enjoy each other here. We enjoy each other's company. We enjoy the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be in a place where the Lord is exalted and where there's people are hungry for His presence. It makes it a whole lot easier than being in a place where people just want to play church, you know. And we're not about that here. We're going to be the church. And God has sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And what a joy it is to serve the Lord. How many here are serving the Lord every day? Amen? You're serving the Lord every day? How many are going to start serving the Lord every day? How many have found it a drudgery to serve the Lord every day? Let me see that hand. We'll have you escorted right out. No. No. It is a joy to serve Jesus. I used to serve the devil and I did a pretty good job at it, you know, but God radically saved me, turned my life around and planted my feet on solid ground and gave me a new song, song of praise. Hallelujah. I wasn't even praising the devil anymore. I'm praising Jesus now. Amen. I'm no longer living as a loser. I'm a winner in Him. He makes me win. He's my overcomer, and I'm an overcomer in Him. Did you know that you are an overcomer already if you're in Christ? Uh-huh. Your walk has to line up with the reality of that truth. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We have to be transformed in our thinking so that our walk lines up with the reality. That is, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's the Word of God. It's not my word. I believe what God says. And as I put my faith, my trust in what God says, and not what my intellect says, not what my reason may say, not what others may say, but when I believe what God says, it's a matter of faith, isn't it? It's really believing that God means exactly what He says. And your truth will be transformed by His truth. What used to be normal to me is now abnormal. I have a new normal. It's a superior normal. It's the kingdom. It's abiding in the Lord. So, are there any new creations in here this morning? Been born again? You know, I want to talk about that this morning. Being born again. What does it mean to be born again? You know, I feel like there are many people who are like I used to be, who used to think I was born again, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't really know what that meant. And I had been in association with church and in people, but never had the transformation. And we don't want to be fooled. And we don't want to fool ourselves. We're not fooling God, for sure. We might be able to fool people. But we don't want to be fooled. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to believe a lie as though it were true. And I've done that. How about you? I've believed a lot of lies. As a matter of fact, God's, you know, trying to constantly direct us to what is true. And the enemy is constantly trying to lie to us, try to mess with your head. And try to get you to doubt who you really are in Christ, the reality. And I wanted us to begin today. The title of the message is A New Creation. Pretty simple. But it's all about the new creation, you see. That's what God's heart's all about, is recreating, is transforming. And in Christ, we become that new creation. It's not about patching up the old life. It's about being transformed. See, religion has people patch up, you know, the old self, and that cannot be redeemed. It has to be discarded. But God gives us a brand new heart. So let's look at this. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. This is the promise that God gave to His people Israel. Now remember, Israel were a people that God called out to represent Him in the earth. When people looked at the people of Israel, they were supposed to see an example of what God's like being displayed in the life of His people. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. But God made a promise to Israel. I want you to hear this, because God is a promise keeper. We are promise breakers. In Jeremiah 31:31, it says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Verse 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. What an awesome promise! In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Do you understand, folks? It's not possible for us in our old nature to listen to God, to obey God. It's not possible for us to do his commandments. Mankind is a promise breaker. We've all made promises to God that we're going to try harder, we're going to work harder, we're going to improve. How many have done that before, right? Maybe you're in a place of desperation. You cried, oh God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then as soon as you get out of it, That's the heart of man that is desperately wicked. It's in total rebellion. It cannot be salvaged. It has to be scrapped. We need a new heart. And in Christ Jesus, when you are born of his spirit, you receive a new heart. He gives you a new heart and he puts his spirit in you. And that spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Amen? We become worshipers in spirit when we're truly born again. Are you hearing me? If you're born of the Spirit, I'm not talking about having an intellectual knowledge of God and maybe what the Bible says about the subject, but when you're truly born of the Spirit, you will become a worshiper of God. You cannot have God's Spirit in you and not be a worshiper of God. You will go so far and your heart will become desperate. And you'll become thirsty again. And oh God, I just want to be with you. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to walk with you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to experience you daily. I want to encounter your life. This new heart is not compatible. It's not compatible with the old heart. When you receive a new heart, this new heart, you will hate sin. And you will love righteousness. If you and I are in a place where we hate sin, and when we mess up, we hate it, that's a good thing. That's a sign that God is there. Are you hearing me? Because before, I could sin and I could care less. Are you with me? I mean, we had a conscience when you were young, anyways. So much for the conscience, right? And the more sinful we become in rebellion against God, that conscience can become seared and ineffective. And now you're doing things that years ago you would have blushed about. Now it's just no big deal. Now you can go parade it in the streets or whatever. And so God gives us a new heart. And this new heart hates what God hates and loves what he loves. And so when you miss the mark or when you fail to do what God shows you to do, then you feel condemned, you feel awful, you feel, right, dirty. Listen, this is the secret to overcoming. It's pretty simple. Do not focus on your sin. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on your sin. when whatever you focus on, whatever you behold, is going to magnify itself. The law, see, magnified sin. The knowledge of sin condemned me because now I know I'm guilty before God. Instead of looking at the problem, look at the solution. Instead of looking at sin, look at Him who is my righteousness. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is. Not things on the earth, the sensual, the devilish, the fallen world we live in. Set your sights in heaven. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Your mind has to come into agreement with that truth, with that reality. You have to be renewed in your thinking. Are you hearing me? So God wants your mind to be sanctified, set apart for Him, where your mind is a pure mind now by the Spirit of God because it's under the authority of the Spirit. And when your mind begins to wander, the Holy Spirit, thank God, is there to say, hey, what are you doing? The conviction of the Holy Spirit is a good thing because He wants us to enjoy the life and the peace of His promise. God wants you to have life and peace. He wants you to walk in the victory that He's already accomplished for you. He wants you to overcome. And you can only overcome through the overcomer. By what you behold, by what you worship, by what you focus on, who you serve. When you are about your Father's business like Jesus was, He didn't have time for all the trash. He was about His Father's business. He was serving His Father. Every day Jesus had to get up and say no to Himself. Because the Bible says that even though He was the Son of God, He was God incarnate, that He stripped Himself of everything that He had in heaven and became just like you and I, like Adam. So He demonstrated through the reality of His life, the truth of His life, that He was the Messiah and that it is possible for us to walk in new life, to walk with the Father, to overcome the world. Now, God created us to live in us. Right? God wants to live in us, to make His home in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the reason Jesus takes away sin is because we are of great value to Him. Now, your experience in life has told you that you're trash, you're no good, you're worthless, you're unworthy. Has anybody ever heard that voice before? Your experience in life often has dictated our view of reality, our attitudes about life. Based upon what we've experienced in life. We were born in a sin-sick world. We were born in a broken world. So we have become products of that world that we've lived in. The awesome thing is that God gives us a new heart. Amen? And we become members of a whole different family. We become citizens of heaven. And joint heirs with Jesus. Children. The Most High God, royal children, a royal priesthood. Now, Jesus takes away sin because we are of what? Great value to Him. You don't redeem something that's worthless. But many of us have heard the other voice. I'm just worthless. And if we don't understand how valuable we actually are to God, then we will live out of that lie. I've been there. I have to remind myself of the promises and what God says Whenever my mind tries to tell me something different, I have to go back to what God says and reestablish, recalibrate my thinking to the thoughts of God. Amen? You're worth it. You were worth the blood of Jesus. God bought you and I. He bought us back because we were so valuable to Him, so precious to Him, that He went all the way to the cross for us. Religion teaches us that we have to work and slave and please and before we had done anything to please God. While we were still in our sin, Christ died. Because we're valuable to Him and He wanted to redeem mankind. He had lost sons and daughters and He wanted to bring them back. Hallelujah. You are valuable to God. And your value, folks, has got to be found in that truth, in that reality, in your identity in Christ, not in what the world has told me. Even what I've told myself. Because often what we say out of our mouth becomes our reality. You're just an idiot. You're just worthless. You're just... Has anybody ever said those things to themselves? I have. Felt really stupid about something. And I start talking certain things about myself. And guess what? If you speak those things, that becomes your reality. Or it becomes your perspective. My perspective has got to be what God says and how God sees it. I've got to change my mind. I've got to change my thinking. I have to repent of those ways, of that way of thinking. And I have to come into an understanding of the knowledge of the truth. The truth is, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not because we were good, but because we couldn't save ourselves, because we are without hope, without help. We needed mercy, and so God gave us His Son as an offering to pay our debt. Hallelujah. That's what good news is. And you we need to understand our value in God's sight, because if we don't feel that we're worth anything to God or that we're valuable at all to God, then you will live out of that lie, out of that reality, and you'll never accomplish anything. You'll always live in this place of defeat and despair and a sense of just being a nobody. When God says you're somebody, you're so important to Him that Jesus bled for you. He willingly laid down His life because you are that valuable to Him. Because He loves you that much. It's hard for me to wrap my puny little mind around that reality because I don't like me a lot. But it's what's true. And when you understand how much God likes you, then you can like you. And even when you mess up, He's a father to His children. He still loves you. He loved you before you even knew Him. When you were living a messed up life reality, He loved you first. He saw your need. And He went to deliver us from ourselves. He came to set us free from ourselves. From the prison that we were in. The prison of lies. Believing every other voice I was hearing and what people said and what people thought. And I lived like a pauper just trying to please people. Because I wanted to be accepted. Why? Because I didn't understand my value. And that's what happens, folks, when we don't understand our value. We live for people. We live to please everybody. We've been called out to love people. Amen? It's not about us. It's about loving others and loving God. We can do that because we know who we are. We know we are valuable. We know we are precious. We are His treasure in the Lord. We are His treasure. There was a song, and He takes His pleasure in you. Now, you don't know how much of a bad life I've lived. Oh, thank God, I don't know. And you don't know how bad my life was. But thank God there is redemption. Thank God He saw value and He says, I'm going to pay the price for you. So you could go free. You can enjoy the kingdom with me. You can be my son. You might become my daughter. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put my spirit in you and you'll begin to desire what I desire. You'll know what is true. Our self-value is usually based upon how well we do or how bad we do. Right? When we're into works, it's all about how well did I do in my Christian walk? How well did I do today? You give yourself some kudos if you had a good day, you know. If you blew it, then my value is gone. Do you not understand, folks? Your value does not change in God's eyes when you mess up. But He's a good Father, and He's encouraging you. He's rooting for you. He's hoping the best for His sons and His daughters, that they're going to just simply learn how to walk with Him, and that they would turn away from their own ways, which are contrary to His ways, so you can walk in His truth, walk in His life. But when we mess up, God doesn't stop loving you. Do you know there are many people who have disconnected from the body of Christ because the devil has lied to them and told them that because you've blown it, God doesn't love you anymore. God's mad at you. Do you understand that sin has already been dealt with? God placed that upon Jesus. He took away my sin. He bore my sin. He paid the price I deserve to pay. God's dealt with it already. My thinking doesn't always agree with that reality, and I have to be changed in my thinking, in the spirit of my mind, to say, you know, this is how I feel, but this is what God says. And when I start believing what God says, because I receive what He says, then my feelings will also follow. And I'll actually start feeling good too. I'll actually start feeling loved again, because your soul comes under submission to the truth. The gospel is more about redeeming our value than our missing the mark. We need to focus more on what God has done for us than we do on sin. What you are beholding. Come on. When we were under the law, we beheld the law. We beheld the rules. And we said, oh God, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And it caused me to realize I'm in trouble. And I need someone to help me. Somebody to deliver me. And I turned to Jesus. Because I discovered that Jesus went to the cross for me. He shed His blood for me. And that there's mercy there. There's forgiveness there. And I can come to Him. And I can be washed. I can be cleansed. I can be a new person on the inside. And I shift away now from the life that's focused on performance and on my sin. Do you know why many addicts don't get free? Because they're focused on the addiction and not on the solution. And the enemy is always trying to say, focus on it. And he makes it bigger in your mind. He makes it bigger than your God in your mind. And come on. God's not weak. God is more than able. God could go, gone. He did that to me. But I had to shift my thinking. I had to repent in my mind. And I had to come to a place where I'm no longer focusing on that thing. But I'm looking at Him. I'm looking at the size of my God, the Almighty God, El Elyon, the Most High God. Amen? The God who created the universe and all things. He's got enough power to set me free. Amen? From this little puny thing that wants to make itself look so big that it's bigger than my God now. We've got to be changed in our thinking. We need to understand how good and how great God is and how valuable we are in His sight. We need to focus on what He's done for us. Romans 12 and verse 2, how many know this one? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by? Amen. That means we should think the way God thinks. Very simple. We need to think like God thinks now. And He's given us, if you're in Christ, if you've been born again, you have His Spirit. So you can know what God thinks about things. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. It's a promise. God wants us to know what He thinks about it. We've got to change our minds about the way we felt about ourselves and say, God, what do You say? And you know what, folks? We're shocked because we say, how can God feel that way about me? I'm just a worm, and God loves me that much. I know some of you never thought you were a worm, but I've thought I was a worm a few times. But this is the cool thing. This is the reality of the gospel. Folks, this is the truth that sets us free. What does it free us to do? It frees us to walk out this life and represent Jesus and freedom from condemnation and fear and guilt and shame of the past. It's under the blood. God has redeemed me. He has purchased me. I belong to Him. He's put His Spirit in me. I'm a son. Hallelujah. And even when I fail, I can just say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And He says, I've taken care of it, son. It's already taken care of. The blood is on the mercy seat in heaven. You walk in that freedom. You stand fast in that freedom. You don't let the devil, you don't let any man tell you and put you under bondage, put you under their control of their rules and their regulations and their religion. You walk as a child of the Most High God in complete freedom, amen, from the past and from yourself. God sets me free from me. And sometimes I have to battle me. I just have to say, me, get out of the way. Because I don't know how to speak right. Just say no to you and yes to God. And the more you're saying yes to God and no to you, the easier it becomes. Guess what? It becomes a way of life. You're walking in the Spirit. See, this is something that we have to practically practice every day. How many have discovered that already? You see, God is the one who chose to dwell in us. It wasn't our idea. It was His idea that He was going to use human vessels as His temple. His dwelling place, and through human vessels, He was going to manifest His kingdom reign on the earth. God gave Adam authority in the very beginning, didn't He? Dominion. Christ restores that authority to us as sons and daughters to what? To establish His kingdom reign on the earth. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed to the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. When we receive His Spirit, He sets us free, amen, from the past and from ourselves. So now we can go and walk with Him daily in the same glory, in the same place that Jesus walked. Are you hearing me? As we are ambassadors representing the Lord here now. On the earth. And you have value in the Lord. It doesn't matter what we thought about ourselves. God likes you. God loves you. There's times that God doesn't like us, I think. You know what I'm saying? You ever felt that way about your kids? I love my kids, but some days I don't like them. Sure, he gets upset with us, just like we were made in his image, folks. But you still love your children. You still want the best for your children. You want your children to succeed, to overcome, to grow up and to be healthy, to be happy, to be productive adults. Okay, moving along. God chose to live in us. Amen? He wants to dwell in us and manifest his life through us. He doesn't want us to live in a constant state of trying to measure up. Constant state of trying to be good enough to measure up. See, that's the thinking of the old nature. That's the carnal mind that thinks it has to measure up. You understand that Jesus measured up for you. He fulfilled all righteousness. Jesus measured up for me so I could be complete in him. I'm not complete in me. I'm only complete in him. He completes me. He fills up the measure of God's requirements for righteousness. He is my righteousness, not me. Religion teaches you have to do these things to be good enough to achieve some level of righteousness. You cannot achieve righteousness. It is given as a gift. He is our righteousness. He makes us righteous before God. God did all this, folks. It was all God's doing. It wasn't me. It was his idea that he wanted to make me righteous in his sight. He wanted to dwell within me. I was going to become his vessel. And his life was going to be manifested through me and through you. Hallelujah. Do you understand your value? You're precious to the Lord. And when we understand our value, it frees us up from the lie that keeps us beat down and, you know, and focused on our failures and our past and the things that we failed to do. And instead, it's like, God loves me. God receives me. God has given me righteousness. I'm in right standing with him. He's given me his spirit. I'm a son. I'm a joint heir. Hallelujah. And I can serve him in freedom. I want to serve God when my heart is at right with him. I want to serve Jesus. If you're walking in fear and in condemnation and regret, you can't serve the Lord. Jesus took care of that. Receive mercy. Receive grace. Receive the truth. That's good news. Not something you achieve, it's something you receive. As long as you and I attempt to achieve righteousness, we will never be righteous. How many have discovered that? How many are waking up out of some of those ideas? That you're realizing that always produced death in me and defeat. When I was trying to produce righteousness, when I was trying to achieve it. Folks, if we could achieve righteousness on our own, then Jesus would have died in vain. The cross would have been unnecessary. But because we cannot save ourselves and we cannot even keep ourselves, Jesus went to the cross for us. Romans 6:20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But verse 22 says, but now, having been set free from sin, And having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need to accept the fact that God has declared me righteous through the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When we receive the love of the truth, it transforms our minds, it transforms our lives, our perspective changes. We know that we are loved, and then we love Him because we have first known His love. We love Him because He first loved me. Amen? He first loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I had this thought too. When we attempt to achieve righteousness, we often end up comparing ourselves to others then. When you're in a place of legalism and trying to achieve your own righteousness, then you're usually comparing. You know, well, I'm a little bit more righteous than Joe over there, you know. And I'm not quite as good as Jane over here, but boy, I'm certainly more righteous than Joe. And we begin to compare ourselves, and then we start to pat ourselves on the back and give ourselves grace, you know, which is no good. Our righteousness isn't any good. It's only His righteousness that's acceptable. Because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short, all of us. So when I'm trying to achieve righteousness, a sign of that is I become critical of others. I begin to compare myself, and I start getting nitpicky about that person and that person. But when I see, you know, myself, and I saw the depths of my sin, and I saw the great mercy of God, and that God loved me that much, He redeemed me and gave me value, then all of a sudden I have a different perspective on other people. I start to begin to understand that, you know, if it wasn't for His grace, I might just be that bad off. Now, if you know me before, you say, no, you can't get much worse than that. Well, we could probably all say that. But, you know, the thing is this, that even though I had lived such a sinful life, God loved me. He loved me when I was a sinner. That's hard for us to grasp. When people hurt us, when people offend us, when people do things against us, we usually say, well, wall up, speak to the hand, you know, you're out of my life. Are you hearing me? That's natural man's perspective. But we were actually enemies to God, enemies in our minds and in our works. We were actually in rebellion and enemies to God. And even when we were enemies to God, He took the initiative because He saw the value of us and went all the way to the death of the cross, amen, to the torments of the cross, to liberate us from all the stuff that we brought on ourselves because we made the decisions. We made the choices to sin against God. And God says, I love you that much. And when we receive the love of the truth, something happens inside, and now I don't want to do those things anymore. When I'm born again, I have a new perspective on life. I become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything becomes new. I have a new normal. It's a new reality. It's actually true reality. It's what's true. So you receive a new heart. But you can't achieve righteousness. The same thing goes for forgiving other people. It becomes easier for me to forgive other people when I become aware of God's great mercy in my own life. You know, folks, I've witnessed, my wife and I managed an assisted living facility for 4 years, lived among older people. There's about 40 residents there. And we saw something, and especially the saints that had been walked with God a long time. They were so non-judgmental. People that really knew God and walked with God. They were very much aware of the mercy that God had showed them. And it was not a difficult task for them to let offenses go and to forgive other people, because they could only go back on their own experience and their own reality that Jesus has died for me. Jesus paid the price for me. You know, I received mercy when I didn't deserve it. This is the cool thing, is that God gives us grace, and that means something we don't deserve, right? It's not getting what you really deserve. That's what grace is. And so when I receive that understanding and that grace, then it becomes easier for me, when people trespass against me, to let them go and to forgive them. Even as I had received mercy, now I can show mercy when it becomes my reality. Another point I want to make this morning, folks, is that your victory is not dependent on others. Well, if you just give me a different wife or a different husband or a better job or, you know, better co-workers, or I could be a really good Christian. Has anybody ever felt that way? I worked in a place, man, where it was just like, it was really, the environment was caustic, you know. But I was born again, I was on fire for Jesus, but I lived in this caustic place. And I say, oh God, let me work with Christians, you know. And God said, no, you're going to stay right there and you're going to learn how to overcome, how to abide in me, how to live above that stuff, to be an example. And to love those people and to forgive those people. And by the grace of God, I've had people that hated me, didn't want to talk about me, wouldn't sit with me. I was one of those Bible thumpers, you know. But God just left me there. He wasn't going to get me out of that situation as badly as I wanted out, because He wanted me to learn some lessons. And as time went on and God taught me to love and to bless and to do the opposite of whatever they were doing, someone had a tragedy. Guess who they came looking up? Even the people that were hateful to me, even people that had lied to me about me to try to get me fired, to get me in trouble, they come up and say, hey, would you pray for me? What do you say? Of course, yeah. Praise God, you know. The door was open. You see, God wants you to bloom where you're planted. He wants you to understand that if you know who your identity is, if you know who you are, if you know that you're loved and that you're valued by God and that He's got His angels about you and that the one that's in you is greater than the one that's in the world, far greater than the one who's in the world. Are you hearing me? And you know that and it's a reality, then you're going to be the world changer. You're going to be the influencer in that situation. That's why He put you there, because we're to be salt and we're to be light. And a light's only good in the darkness. That's why I like Shelton. He's like, oh, Shelton, hey, what a better place to be, you know, a good place to be, because where it's dark, we're going to shine even brighter. And we can light up the night. We can light this place up by the grace of God, by the power of God. Hallelujah. The devil just doesn't want you to know who you are. He's trying to keep this revelation from you. He's trying to keep this truth from you. He's trying to keep from you the reality that the demons actually tremble at the name of Jesus. Right. So why should we in any way be terrified by our adversaries, when God is greater? Come on. The Creator versus the creation. The potter versus the clay. Boom. God decides, He just takes them out. How many know that these fallen angels are created beings that rebelled and fell? So there's no comparison. Jesus and Satan are not in a boxing ring. They're not boxing at the same level. Come on. All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And we, as His people, representatives of His, who He has commissioned, that means He's given us that authority on the earth, should never be afraid of the devil. Because we know who we are. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in me. God is with me. God is for me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's the truth. That's the reality. Anything less than that is a lie, folks. Are you hearing me? If you're a child of God, you're born again, you are a formidable foe. You and Jesus are a majority. It doesn't matter what you're surrounded with. You've got Jesus. You are a majority. There are more for us than against us. We need to be a living expression of Him, who He is, and what He's accomplished in us. We need to be that testimony, that living epistle, a testimony to Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14, we'll probably close it up here. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now thanks be to God who sometimes leads us in triumph. That was a misquote, wasn't it? No, always. Right? We say, what part of always don't you understand? I've got to learn this, you know. He always leads us in triumph. If we're listening to His voice, you can't go wrong. You will not be defeated as long as you are trusting in His guidance, trusting in His ability, and not in yourself. Our faith is in the ability of God, amen, and His faithfulness, not in ourselves. I can't do what I do except by the grace of God. Now, my parents, when we were just little kids, they had us in front of people playing guitar, my brother and I. And I seemed to be okay with that when I was a child, but then I went through a period of time where it's like, man, I don't want to get up in front of people and do this thing, you know. And then I remember when I was in high school, you know, when the teacher would call my name, fear, terror would strike my heart. I'm on the spot. And what do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer? And usually I was like, I was looking out the window. I wasn't even paying attention. And I get nailed, you know. And now, well, why don't you come up on to the front of the classroom and tell us what we just said, you know. I had some teachers that were really cruel. And so naturally, I was just kind of like, you know, I was, in some ways, when it had to do with a crowd, I was very shy, very timid. But this is the awesome thing, is when you belong to Jesus and Christ comes to dwell within you, what He does is He makes you supernatural. So He gives you the ability to do what naturally you cannot do. And if I don't stay filled, if I don't stay plugged into Him, I very quickly turn into that shy recluse. So that the power of God rests upon me when I recognize my own weakness and it causes me to draw near to God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I become another man. Are you hearing me? Then you can do whatever God has called you to do, because what He calls you to do is bigger than you. It's way bigger than you. Your calling is bigger than you. And so that's okay, because that way God's going to be glorified. God's going to come through. He's going to be manifested. And the devil's going to run tail away. Yeah, it's not of us, but it's of Him. So understand, I'm going to cap it off with this. Your identity is important. You need to know today, I'm telling you, I'm just bringing a word of encouragement to you, that you are of great value. Even Jesus said it. You're of much greater value than sparrows, right? Jesus said it. I believe it. So you're valuable to God. You are so valuable that you are worth redeeming with His own blood. with the blood of Jesus. And God wants a family. He wants us to come into agreement with His will for our lives so that we can live out our destiny, which is, has an eternal reward and benefit. But not only in eternity. Do you understand? God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. Your salvation isn't just about going to heaven. Your salvation is about heaven coming into you and being manifested through you in the world. Oh, hallelujah. So if we're not doing that, we need to repent in our thinking. And if you say, oh, I can't do it, that's good. God can do it through you. Because, you know, if we're self-confident, we're no good to God either. We got to be confident in the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Man, stand up for Jesus, and He'll stand up inside of you. I find that to be true. Sometimes my flesh is saying, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to. Shut up. Listen to the Spirit. Say yes to the Spirit. Boom, life, ability, supernatural power, ability to do what you can't do naturally. Thank you, Lord.